1320 WILS. My next guest, the author of the book, The Every Woman's Guide to Equality, How Achieving Real Equality Will Change Women's Lives Forever. Carolyn McDonald joins us now. Carolyn McDonald, I should say. Carolyn, great to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me. How are you doing?
Good, good. And you've been involved in the issue of women's equality for decades, right?
It feels like that, yes.
Yeah. And now, what made you so passionate about this issue?
I think that I just have been on the receiving end of inequality myself. There are issues about equal pay, sexual harassment, discrimination. And as I got older, things didn't seem to change. And I finally got to the point where I'd had enough and wrote the book.
Like, what kinds of situations would you say you've been in that have felt that way?
Well, I had to work in a situation, an environmental remediation project that I went into a trailer with a bunch of workmen, and there were a lot of centerfolds, really, really graphic centerfolds, and I asked for them to be taken down, and they refused, so I went and got my own centerfold, and then they came down right away.
Interesting. So, there you go, fire with fire, huh?
Well, you know, sometimes it's the only thing you can do. And I've been, you know, at meetings where I was discussing what contaminated soil would be like to work in. And some of the guys would ask what that was going to do to their, you know, member. So it's been it's hardcore. Yeah. And
but what about today? It seems like, you know, anything you do in the workplace, you could end up facing some kind of a potential sexual harassment issue if you're inappropriate. Do you think we're in a different time now?
I think it's a little bit more covert, but I still think that there's innuendo, there's over-familiarity. You know, I mean, a woman working in the in your office is not your best bud or your, you know, sister.
Mm-hmm.
She's a co-worker, another employee who's female. And I think that there's behavior, and then I think there's inappropriate behavior.
And, I'm talking to Carolyn McDonald, the book, The Every Woman's Guide to Equality. And by the way, everywomansguidetoequality.com is the website. What do you say to a woman then who feels that, you know, that there's some inappropriate behavior, but it's subtle? How do you address that?
I say document everything. I think people in the workforce should document everything anyway, because it's just for your own memory as well as protection. But I think that especially a woman needs to document everything that's happening, time, place, occurrence, and you know, bring it up to her supervisor, and if that doesn't work, continue to climb up till somebody responds.
Yeah, how hard is it to just tell someone, hey, you're making me uncomfortable by the way you're behaving?
Well, let me say this. If the playing fields were equal and everybody was friendly, it would be easy. But how easy is it for anybody to tell anybody or to receive some kind of negativity? Especially if you're trying to be friendly, you think, or funny, or cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want the girl to think you're cute, and you're not being funny or cute, and she finds it offensive. So if you say, hey, I don't really like that, it's creeping me out, you're going to not like it. You're going to take it personally. And in a lot of cases, when you've seen with sexual harassment on the street, for example,
mm-hmm.
guys will whistle at a woman and she doesn't respond, and it escalates.
Yeah. Do you live in a big city yourself? Or?
I was born and raised in Houston. Mm-hmm. I lived in New Jersey. I worked in Newark. I lived in Northern California. And right now we live in Palm Springs.
Oh, okay. Probably not too much street harassment in Palm Springs, is there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm busy writing, unfortunately.
Okay, you're staying away from it. I'm talking to Carolyn McDonald again, the book, The Every Woman's Guide to Equality. And what is it in the workplace that you think the biggest problem is, or is it elsewhere?
I think that we have a problem with violence against women in this country, sexual harassment, mm-hmm. sexual assault, domestic violence costs in this country are $37 billion a year.
And these are usually their partners that are perpetrating this, right?
Yeah, domestic. I don't like the word domestic. I like familial because it really sums up what's happening. And $37 billion is a lot of money, and that's for all domestic violence complaints. You're talking potentially about one in four young women being expected to be sexually assaulted on campus in our country, and you're talking of over 400,000 rape kits in this country that have not been tested yet. So, I mean, there's a lot going on out there that puts women at a huge disadvantage.
And you see these situations where it is a partner or someone they know, a domestic relationship, let's say, where there's violence. In terms of empowering women in those situations, how would you say to do that?
That's very difficult because, you know, the women that are in those situations are usually very hopeless. They have no place to go. This is all they've got. And on some level, this is the kind of love they believe they deserve. Mm-hmm. And to remove somebody from that situation, you've got to provide them with a safety net, a real safety net, something that offers them hope for the future, and also to make sure that the person they leave isn't going to come and kill them.
Hmm. And so how do you do that?
The court system, our police departments have to really step up. Mm-hmm. The statistics about domestic violence in our police departments is outrageous. They say the statistics are 40% of every police family has faced domestic violence. And so it doesn't bode well for women who are being hurt, abused, beaten by their spouse, mm-hmm. to call the police and say, hey, help me, if somebody themselves is perpetrating domestic violence on their own family.
In terms of the social consciousness, though, do you think we're at least generally as a society aware that this behavior is bad and it should be avoided?
I think that the society turns its face away from things we can't handle, mm-hmm. that we can't address, or we minimize and say, oh, she could leave if she wanted to. I think that we don't have any real solutions to some of this. We have not come up with a national solution, and certainly communities in some cases have come up with solutions, but it's definitely not a national solution.
Right, and it's complicated, though, because you have situations where women are in an abusive relationship, right, and they leave, but then they come back, you know, and they leave and they come back again. What do you say to that when people see the complexity that it's not just a matter of not having finances?
It is serious emotional, counseling and counseling and counseling, mm-hmm. because you're dealing with women who feel so not valued in any way, shape, or form. I mean, we all feel undervalued every now and then, but these women feel absolutely no self-worth, no value, and they know nothing else, and it's a pattern. Again, they feel as if, and I'm not speaking from experience, but I've spoken to survivors of domestic violence, and they feel as if they have no choice. They have nothing.
Nothing to
go
to. You
know, when you look
to.
At the number of people on the street, uh-huh. the majority of women on the street come from domestic violence.
One last thing, this new millennial generation, the way they've been brought up, all the media they've been exposed to, do you think they're going to be different in how they treat each other as men and women?
I don't know. You know, I sometimes think that they don't have any recollection or understanding of history and where we've come from and where we are now. And I think a lot of times they feel like it's not them. It's not their generation. This was our generation or the generation right after us. Mm-hmm. And it worries me. I want to believe that they're more respectful. But if you look at some of the things that have happened in our country in some of these towns where girls are raped by and the town turns against them, I really don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 in my hopefulness and my hopelessness.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're always, I guess, bad people in any generation. Do you think they have a different understanding of gender roles and equality in terms of their view on it?
I think that they have their own understanding. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if it's different, but I'm not sure if it's historically informed. I'm not really sure.
Would you rather be a young woman now or a young woman when you were growing up?
Oh, wow. That's a big, tough question. I would say the young woman I was when I was growing up. I would not want to be a young woman now.
Really? What's the drawback today?
I just feel that the cause of women's equality is a lot of what's happened to get us to where we are is kind of taken for granted. And when we talk about sexual harassment and discrimination and sexual assault, you know, a lot of times we kind of look with a blank stare like it was something that only happened to us. Mm. And I just think it's a lot.
Is that not a sign of progress, though?
I don't know if it's progress or ignorance. I'm not really sure. You know, I mean, I want to say we've made progress, but when you look at domestic violence in our country and the amount of money that it costs and associated costs and, you know, medical and police and judicial and lost wages and everything else, it's crazy. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount. It's such a domestic violence, I would say, is an epidemic in our country. And so I don't really know if being a younger woman now is going to help change that or not.
I mean, it's tough because, in a way, unless you're close to it or you know somebody that's involved in that, you don't think about it, right? I mean, I can't.
I think that's I think that's very true, and I think that's part of our collective problem, is that we need to work on things that don't necessarily affect us.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly know a lot of couples, and maybe some of them have issues, but not any kind of violence or any serious
issues.
You may
not know, because there's not a lot. I mean, there's underreporting of, it's shame. There's a lot of shame in domestic violence, there's a lot of underreporting.
It's probably more of the emotional issues that probably come up in my circles than physical violence, but it's certainly a difficult issue. Carlin McDonald, the book, The Every Woman's Guide to Equality. Also find her online at everywomansguidetoequality.com. Every Woman's Guide to Equality, How Achieving Real Equality Will Change Women's Lives Forever. Carlin, thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.